Hello, and thank you for tuning into our program today where we're going to be studying about being a Christian. My name is Richard Massey, and I preach for the Windmill Church of Christ, which is located 8 miles south of Weatherford, Texas. If you're ever in our area, we'd be glad to have you come and be with us. Today, we're going to talk about Christians are soldiers. We are soldiers, and we need to have our armor on, and we need to have our weapon ready. Listen to this passage which tells us that we are a soldier. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Christ has chosen us to be a soldier. We're spiritual soldiers, a soldier of Jesus Christ, and we are in a war. We are fighting a warfare. When Paul wrote his last few words by inspiration, he would say in 2 Timothy 4, in verse number 7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And then, of course, he talks about the victory in verse number 8. Yes, we are soldiers, and we are in a fight. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 18, the Bible says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies that went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." We are Christians, and we are in a war. We need to understand that. In the book of Philemon, only one chapter and only 25 verses, but we see in this passage that Christians were soldiers. In Philippians verse 2, "And to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house." Yes, they were fellow soldiers. They were soldiers. And they fought the good warfare together. In Philippians 2, in verse number 25, we read, "Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants." And so not only are we called soldiers, but we have fellow soldiers, and we're in a war. And so we can be a brother, we can be a fellow worker, we can be a fellow soldier, we can be a minister, we can be a servant. That's what a Christian is. This is who Jesus was. Jesus was a soldier. He was in a spiritual warfare. He is our commander and our chief. And what he did, we must do. Now, over in the book of Revelation, we find more information about us being soldiers and being in a war. In Revelation 17 and verse 14, it says, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." And so we are in a war. It's a spiritual war. Notice in Revelation 19, beginning in verse 11, "I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes are as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name that written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon the white horse, and clothed with fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of the kings, and flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These were both cast into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, and the sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Yes, Christ and his church are in a great battle. We're going to win that battle. But notice the sword of his mouth. You know, that's the powerful word of God. This is a royal spiritual battle that we're in. The Christian is a soldier. Everything is at stake. If we win the battle, and you get a victory, you get a reward. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57 says, Thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we win the battle, we have a home in heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ. But if we lose the battle and give in to sin and selfishness and lust, you will be excluded from the reward. You will not be in heaven. So today we're talking about the fact that the Christian is a soldier, and the Christian is in a war. It's a battle of the lifetime. Now in this battle, God has given us the appropriate armor and weapon. We read about those in Ephesians chapter 6. And if we don't have our weapon, if a soldier goes into battle without a weapon, he doesn't stand a very good chance of having victory. In Ephesians 6, beginning in verse number 10, it says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle. Now that word means we're up close. It's hand-to-hand combat. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our war is not one that's a physical battle. We don't need guns and bayonets. We need spiritual weapons. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, you're going to have some willpower here to make a stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, the devil is a warrior, and so we're to be warriors as well, and we're to think like a soldier. We're to think like we're in a battle. And we're to have our loins girt about with the truth. The Bible says, You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that's what we're to have girt about ourselves. Surround yourself with the truth. And then have the breastplate of righteousness. And with that, we can protect the vital organs. Those things, the devil can't touch those things. And then it says, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel is what we travel on. It's what we stand on. We stand on the promises of God, and we travel on the gospel. We don't live by sight. We live by faith. And our armor is powerful, and we're able to stop the attacks of the devil. Verse 16 of Ephesians 6 says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked," or some versions say the wicked one. And so the devil is going to hurl darts or make attacks upon us, but our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. 1 John 5 and verse number 4. And then it says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." We need the Word of God to fight this battle. It's our weapon. Don't be a soldier without a weapon. You don't stand a chance. You send a soldier off to battle today without an M16, without an M60 machine gun. You send him into battle without bombs and without artillery. He doesn't stand a chance. But with the Word of God, we're able to fight the battle. And we want a sharp sword, and that's what the Bible is. Hebrews 4 and verse 11. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Yes, the Word of God is our weapon. Do not be a soldier that goes into battle on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday, but you don't have your weapon with you. You don't have your shield of faith with you. You don't have on the breastplate of righteousness. You don't have your feet shod with the gospel of peace from the head to the toe. We are to be covered with the Word of God. We're to be girt about the loins with the truth. We're to have the Word of God in our hand. But verse 18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." We're not only to be praying for ourselves, but we are to be praying for our brethren. Yes, we have a weapon. It is a sufficient weapon. Do not go to battle without your Bible, without hiding God's Word in your heart. In 2 Peter 1, verse 5, it says, "Beside this, giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." God wants us to know His Word. That's how we're going to win this battle. That's how the book of 2 Peter begins. Add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge. Study your Bible more and more every day. And then this is how the book ends. In the last chapter of 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 18, "But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." Knowledge of the Word of God is powerful. It's how we're going to win this fight. It's how Jesus won. You know, Jesus was a human being. He was tempted by the devil. He was tempted just like you and I. He could have sinned, but He didn't sin, and this is how He avoided it. In Matthew chapter 4, He had a face-to-face confrontation with the devil. And you will see in this passage, it is a battle for the mind. It is a battle trying to conquer the thoughts of the heart. Listen to this. In Matthew 4, verse 1, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He afterward was a-hungered. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread.'" He appealed to His basic need in life, the need of food, and He was hungry. But Jesus had an answer for Him. He had the Word of God in His heart. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Man is going to live by the word of God. He said it right there in verse number 4. Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This is the sword of the mouth that we read about in Revelation 19. Jesus said, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is how we live. Then the devil taketh him up to the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him. The devil fled. And behold, angels came and ministered to him. He just fought a great battle. Jesus fought a great battle. He fought it with the word of God. And he won that battle. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus defeated the devil with the word of God. That's our sword. James 4 and 7 says, Resist the devil and he will flee away from you. He will get away from you. And this is how we resist him, with the word of God. When we are tempted, we need to call up in our minds the word of God. The devil cannot defeat a Christian who has the truth. That's why we're to be girt about with the truth. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And then it says, submit yourselves to God. Submit to God. Do not submit to the devil. This is how we win the battle. Know your Bible. Believe the Bible. Live by the information in the Bible. Have the conviction of a soldier. Think like a soldier. A soldier keeps his sword sharp. And I encourage you to sharpen your sword and study your Bible. By studying your Bible, sharpen it. Now, those who do not have the Word of God, they're a soldier without a sword. They're a soldier without a weapon. That actually happened in the Bible. In Hosea chapter 4, listen to this. These are people who do not have a sword. Listen to this passage of Hosea 4. They do not have the word of God. They were told to hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. They don't have a sword. They are a soldier without a weapon. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. This is what happened when you don't have the word of God in your heart. There's lying, there's stealing, there's committing adultery. And there's bloody events right after another bloody event. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beast of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night. And I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forsaken the law of the Lord thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. This was a people who didn't have a weapon to fight against the devil, and they lost the battle. They gave in to lying. They gave in to stealing. They gave in to murder. They gave in. They couldn't resist the devil, and they lost the battle. How shocking that is. They were a people that God had taken out of the land of Egypt. He had nurtured them. He had taken care of them. And yet they forsook his knowledge. And that's how they ended up. We read about a similar situation in the book of Judges, chapter 2. These are people who did not have their sword, their spiritual sword, and they lost the battle. Those in the days of Hosea, they lost the battle. Here's another case of God's people losing the battle. In Judges 2 and verse 7, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. This was the generation that knew God. They had a knowledge of God. They all died. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord their God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves to them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoil them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said and as the Lord had sworn unto them. And they were greatly distressed. They lost the battle because they didn't have a knowledge of God. They didn't have their weapon. They couldn't fight the battle. They lost the battle with Satan, and they lost their privileges and their freedoms. And Christians can do the same thing today. Christians can miss the victory of heaven without Bible study and without prayer, without congregational worship. You are without power. You cannot win the great battle. In Matthew 22 and verse 29, Jesus made this remarkable statement. He told some people, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." If you do not know the scriptures, you're going to not be in the truth and be walking in the light. You're going to be walking in error. You're going to be walking in darkness. You don't want that. There's no way you can win the battle like that. Now, we've studied today that we're soldiers. We have studied today that God has given soldiers an armament and a weapon. The Word of God is our weapon. And our armament is the knowledge of God's Word. "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." We see that we can win the battle with the appropriate weapons that God has given us. But we've seen two examples here of the days of Hosea and in the days of the judges where God's people were not armed and they lost and they were destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now we can avoid that. We can live in a way that's pleasing unto God, but we've got to live by the Word of God, by going to Bible class, studying our Bibles, going to worship, and letting our swords be sharpened so that we can continue the battle. Thank you for tuning in today, my friends. Glad to have you with us. Continue to listen to the Gospel Radio Network, and you'll hear more lessons that will help you to win the battle that you're currently in. Thank you, and may you have a good day.